When you meet someone after the Shiva Linga has been there for 100 years or 200 years, and meet someone, and they say, "Oh, this Shiva Linga has been here since Lord Krishna's time." They always say, because after 200 years, who knows what? 200 could be 2,000 or 2 million or whatever. So that's generally the case. But according to Skanda Puran and the Vaishnav Kand, in chapter 1, verse 4 through 6, it describes some of the work, the contribution that was done by Vajranav. Vajranav was the king of Mathura district right after the time Lord Krishna's disappearance, about 5,000 years ago. And he was, of course, ruling this area as a king, as a Kshatriya emperor. And this area, as you know, this is as Akbar, when Akbar was ruling here a few hundred years ago, in the 1570s or so, he gave this area of land, Vrindavan side, he called it Fakirabad. We have Ghaziabad and Faridabad. This is called Fakirabad. It means a bad fakir, or a bad faker. They say in America, faker. But fakir, a fakir is a tyagi, what we would say in Hindi, a tyagi, or vairagi. Vairagi. We want to become ragis. We want to become Raghunuga Bhaktas. Rag means color, actually means color. We want to be colored with or dyed with attachment. Rag means attachment. So a vairagi is one who has, he's without attachment. He's a vairagi. We want to be ragis. We want to be Radha ragis and Krishna ragis. We want to be attached to Radha and Krishna. But tyagis, they have renounced, or they're renunciates, they're called fakir. So Akbar, he saw that the caliber of people that were living here, especially in Vrindavan at that time, 500 years ago, they were mostly fakirs, like six Goswamis. Akbar had met Jiva Goswami, and he had met the Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And he was very impressed with the renunciation of the Goswamis and their dedication, so much so that he immediately responded to Man Singh. Man Singh was one of the commanders of his army. He was from Jaipur. He was a Hindu, but he worked for Akbar. And Man Singh was a disciple of Raghunath Bhatta. And Raghunath Bhatta, of course, was one of the famous six Goswamis. Vande Rupa Sanatana Urugu Yago Sri Jiva Gopalako. So Man Singh asked Akbar, he said, "Please, can you donate some stone to build a temple for Govindaji? Some of this very high quality red sandstone, which is usually reserved for the mosques. The mosque and the burial tombs of the royalty. This blood red sandstone, this very blood red stone, like you see Madan Mohan Temple, the old Govindaji Temple, which is so ornate and decorative." So he was very happy to donate that stone. So when Maharaj Pariksit was living here much longer, long ago, 5,000 years ago, there were so many fakirs here, so many rishis and vairagis and tyagis. Specifically, Garga Muni was here. And also Shandilya Muni. Shandilya, he's a famous rishi, he was a bhakta. And as Narada Muni wrote Narada Bhakti Sutras, and Shandilya, or Shandilya, I guess it's Sha, I suppose, or Sa. Shandilya Rishi, he wrote also a book called Bhakti Sutras, which is in English. Gaudiya Math from Madras, they released that book. I read that book some years ago. Very interesting. Discussion of bhakti, devotion. And he met Vajranav and he advised him. He said, "Listen, you should, since you come in this great dynasty, Chandravamsha, of Krishna, Yadavas, you should, now you're in charge of this place, you should preserve all the sites of Krishna's pastimes, Leela Stalis, they're called Leela Stalis, so that they're not lost to antiquity. So then he engaged all of his resources and manpower under the guidance of great rishis like Shandilya, Rishi and others, Srivasa, in uncovering the places of Krishna's Leela, his Janamstan and his this Sarovara and that Sarovara and this lake and that lake. And then he's responsible for Radhakund and Shamukund and so many places. So it says that he discovered the pastime places of Govinda, the Gopas and the Gopis, one after another. He established many villages, and he constructed ponds, wells, and other public works, and he installed deities of Lord Shiva and others. He also installed the Krishna deities of Govinda Dev, Hari Dev, Keshava Dev, Dauji, etc. He thus spread the pure devotion for Krishna throughout his kingdom, which gave him great pleasure. So Bhajanav is accredited with establishing four deities of Shiva in the Braj area. So these deities are still existing to this day. You can take darshan, they're very powerful and famous deities. The Sri Bhuteshwar in Mathura, Gopishwar in Vrindavan, Chakaleshwar in Manasi Ganga near Govardhan, and Kameshwar in Kamyavan. So one of our devotees is telling us that some of the Vrijvasis on this day, or on this evening, on this night, I guess starting at sunset or something, they walk for 84 kilometers. They do an 84 kilometer parikrama to visit all these Shiva deities. I mean, Vrijvasi people, they're really, the devotee type, are really austere. And they're not Shaivites per se. Most of them are Radha Krishna Bhaktas. But they understand the position of Shiva as Vishnu Tattva, and is so integral to Krishna's Leela and so important for getting free from false ego and actually getting free from what they call Purushabhiman. Purushabhiman means the thinking that I'm the enjoyer. This is what false ego is, thinking I'm the enjoyer. Purusha, in a term, it's called Purushabhiman. There's Prakriti Abhiman and Purushabhiman. So Prakriti means feminine or the enjoyed, the energy. And the energetic is the Purusha. So Purushabhiman is the mentality that oh, this is for me, or this looks good. I can enjoy it. I can have it. I can use it. I can exploit it. It's meant for me and only me. So they do a rather rigorous parikrama today, 84 kilometers. And they begin with Gopishwar. They begin with Gopishwar by bathing in the Yamuna, or maybe Mansarovar, where Shiva bathed, or also Brahmakund, which he also bathed. They bathe in Yamuna, then they worship Gopishwar, then they walk to Mathura, which is 10 kilometers, and they bathe in Yamuna again at Vishramghat, a very famous place, and they take darshan of Bhuteshwar. And then from there they walk to Govardhan, I suppose, and they take darshan at Manasi Ganga, they bathe in Manasi Ganga. They take darshan of Chakaleshwar Mahadev. Then from there they walk to Dig and on to Kamyavan. It's about 42 kilometers. And then Dig they take bath in Bimalakund. So then they took darshan of Kameshwar. And from there they walk to Nandagaon, which is another 30 kilometers or so, 25. And they take bath in Pavan Sarovara. Then they walk up the top of the hill to Nandagram, where Krishna Balaram temple is, and next to that temple is the deity of Nandishwar. And we'll hear the story of that deity. And then from Nandishwar, then they walk back to Vrindavan, which is another 20 kilometers. That's all done at night. So we're sitting here very comfortably and are sleeping very comfortably. And you know, these devotees, they're out there walking all around Braj, enormous distances. So we can only pray that they'll sprinkle some of the dust of their feet on our heads. So these deities, there's some nice stories about these deities. So they're very ancient, and we've had the good fortune of worshipping and seeing all these deities. And moreover, these deities are considered to be the Kshetrapals. They're protecting the holy dham of Braj Mandal. So in the south, we have Bhuteshwar Mathura. He's protecting. Dig means direction. Pal means protector or nourisher. He's nourishing. So he's protecting the holy dham from any type of demoniac influences, and especially those, of course, who take shelter of him. He protects them and removes from them the Purushabhiman. He creates Seva Bhav, Seva Vritti. Seva vritti means that the thought waves, the vritti, the movement, the vibration and thoughts of seva, dasosmi, Krishnara nityadas, jivera sorupaya Krishnara nityadas, that I am a jiva, I have a sarup, I have an eternal form. And what is that form? I'm a servant. I'm not the master of anything. I'm not the enjoyer of anyone. I'm not the controller or owner of anything. I came to this world naked, with nothing in my hands. My hands are like this when I came into the world. Baby's hands are like this. Right? And then he learns to open his hands. And once he learns to open his hands, he learns to reach out. He learns to reach out, then he learns to grab and hold. Then he starts holding, and everything he grabs, he holds onto. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. And then when he gets old and dies, and again he closes his hands. You ever see people on the diet, they go like this. So you die, you're born with nothing in your hands, and you learn how to open your hands and grab. It's my world. When you're born, your hands are closed because you can't put your hands on anything. You can't touch anything because it's not yours. That's why your hands are closed when you're born. You can't touch anything. And then you learn to steal what's not yours. And then when you die, you say, oh, okay, actually it's not mine. You know? And then you die with your hands closed again. Interesting point. So that's the southern direction is protected in that way, and then we come to the northern direction. That's Nandagaon, and Nandishwar is there, and then in the east side we have Gopishwar, and the west side we have Kameshwar. If any kind of demon tries to drop in the middle of Braj Mandal, the middle is Govardhan. That's about the middle. Then he faces Chakaleshwar, which used to be Chakra Ishvara, but somehow I got corrupted to Chakaleshwar. So we can hear the stories of these deities. They're recounted here in a very accurate way. So for your pleasure and edification, we'll read these stories. So now we've gone to Mathura. And we're in this very beautiful temple near the banks, near the Yamuna side, banks of Yamuna, Bhuteshwar. It is a tradition among Vaishnavas that when coming to Braj, one must first go to Vishram Ghat and take bath in the Yamuna. This course nowadays, we land in Delhi, coming from Mexico, and we get in a taxi and we go straight to Krishna Balaram Mandir. So we that's called rag bhakti, spontaneous attraction. We don't follow any rules and regulations, nor do we follow the tradition or the standard, the tradition or the custom. It's something reminiscent of the Parishads of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 500 years ago, they used to come from Navadvip and Shantipur and Ambikalana, in different cities in Navadvip. They would come every year to spend Chaturmasya with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri and walk for 2 months to Puri. And then everyone going to Puri is one of the char dhams, Jagannath Puri, Badrinath, Jagannath, Badrinath, Dwarkanath, and Rameshwar. It's one of the four dhams in India, char dham, and people pay any amount of money or try as best they can to see these four dhams. So now they walk for 2 months to Jagannath Puri, Sri Purushottam Kshetra. And now when they get there, they don't even go to the temple. They walk right by the temple and go straight to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's house, to Kashi Mishra's house. That's where he was staying, in Gambira. And Lord Chaitanya said, oh, Lord Chaitanya asked him, did you take darshan of Jagannath? And he said, no. He said, what? What is this? He said, no, we came straight to you. We didn't care anything about Jagannath. You're our Jagannath. You're everything. So this is kind of the mood of the ISKCON Wallahs. They just want to see Radhasham Sundar and forget about the rules and regulations. So they don't stop in the temple. They don't stop the Vishram God or Bhuteshwar and say, Bam Bam Bole, and forget about him. But if you see the tradition, when all the acharyas that came to Vrindavan, because the scriptures say that, when coming to Braj Mandal, first one should come to Vishram Ghat, which is where Lord Krishna rested after he killed or vanquished Kamsa, the Rangashala. and take bath there and become purified of all sins. It's Vishwamgada's most purifying place in the entire Yamuna. Become purified from pap and pap karma and everything. So Madhvacharya went there 1200 years ago. Shankaracharya went there. Ramanujacharya went there. Vishnuswami went there. Advaitacharya went there. Nityananda went there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there. Janamata went there. Rupa Sanatana. Everyone came in the Braj. First they come to Brajmanda, they come to Mathura. Not to Vrindavan. First Mathura. Then Vishwamgad. Then Bhuteshwar Darshan. And other Shiva deities. Gokarneshwar and Pipaleshwar and Rangeshwar. And then from there they tour the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Dvadasavan, Brikama, Trosikosh, Trasi. Jirasi Kosh Prikama, and then they come to settle up in Radhakund or Mamshivat Sevakund, etc. But we're much more advanced than all of them. We hop in the car and zip! And our students, we have some of our students, they got initiated, so Harinam. So we said, first you go to Vishwamgat and you get your head shaved there and you get some Brahmandan, take bath, and then you come. So this is a nice point here, we're hearing about Bhuteshwar. This was the general thing that people would go there and they would go first to Mathura and take permission from Bhuteshwar to enter the Dham. Because they're like these Shiva deities are situated everywhere in India, there's millions of them. But especially in Braj, they're considered, as I said, the Digpals, they're protectors of the Dham. So not, they're guardians of the Dham, and they're taking the entrance. They're like ticket collectors at the movie theater. You have to get in the door. You have to have your ticket. You go to the ticket man. You pay your money. Then the other man says, "Hey, where's your ticket?" "Oh, here it is. Okay, come." So similarly, the ticket to Vrindavan comes from Bhuteshwar. He gives a ticket. So you may come in straight away, but if you don't get a ticket, then you may get thrown out. You may go, "Hey, what are you doing here? You have a ticket?" "No, hey, out." And moreover, you may not properly settle up in here properly because you came in the back door. You snuck in the back door. So you can't be so sure of your stay over there. You come in the back door of the theater, "Oh, I'm here." "Hey!" Oh, somebody catches you and, "What, you, well, you snuck in the back door?" "Hey, out." So this was a standard system and custom. Take permission from Bhuteshwar to enter the Dham because he's the protector and the controller. And there's Adi Varaha Puran. This has Krishna's words. He glorifies Bhuteshwar. He says, "Maturyam cha devatvam kshetra pala bhavishyasi trayi driste mahadeva mama kshetra phalam lavet." Oh, Bhuteshwar Dev, you will be the protector of Mathura. Oh, greatest of the gods, whoever sees you will attain my abode. That was nice. Krishna's telling you, if anyone sees Bhuteshwar Mahadev, someday we'll go on some yatra over there and take you around all these places. Drishtva Bhutapatim Devam Varadam Papanashanam Tena Drishtena Vasude Maturam Phalamapniyat. By seeing Bhuteshwar Mahadev, all sins are destroyed. One who sees him achieves the land of Mathura. He grants liberation even to the sinful. This deity is very dear to me, says Krishna. How is it possible for a sinful person who tries to worship me but will not worship Bhuteshwar attain devotion to me? As Krishna is telling. How can you attain devotion if you don't worship Bhuteshwar? Man maya mohita diya prayaste manavarama Bhuteshwaram nasmaranti na namanti stivanti va. Those who are bewildered by my maya, who are the lowest of men, who will not meditate, bow down before, or offer prayers to Bhuteshwar. So now Narada Muni explains to King Bahulaswa how Lord Shiva came to stay in Mathura. He was performing. Lord Shiva came to Mathura and did austerities for many, many celestial years. And Lord Krishna was very pleased with him and gave him his mercy that he becomes a gatekeeper. Digpal means gatekeeper. Really, I said ticket collector, but it's more like gatekeeper. And you go to the chokidar, you say, "Chokidar, gatekeeper," and say, "Let me in. Who are you? Will you have permission?" No submission, no permission. No permission, no admission. So we have to submit ourselves to Shiva and then get his permission, then we can get admission. That's a nice thing. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 17th chapter 191, it explains that Mahaprabhu, when he came to Braj, he visited the deity of Bhuteshwar Mahadev. Now, the next deity here is, any questions about Bhuteshwar? Now we'll go to Gopeshwar Mahadev. Gopeshwar Mahadev ki jai. He is one of the most prominent deities in the Gaudiya Sampradaya and mentioned in many Gaudiya, which means Lord Chaitanya's followers, literatures. He is a very ancient protector of Sri Vrindavan Dham. One cannot enter Vrindavan without his permission. The glories of Gopeshwar are sung throughout the Goswami literatures. How many have been to Gopeshwar Mahadev? Raise your hand. Anytime. How many got their feet cut over there? Srimad Gopishwaram Vande Shankaram Karunamayam Sarvaklesha Haram Devam Vrindaranya Ratim Pradam. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Gopishwar, who is merciful Shiva himself. He removes all troubles and grants spiritual love in Vrindavan. Now this is a nice prayer from Vishnu Chakravarti, Sri Sankalpa Kalpadruma, which we have in English, and we don't have the Sanskrit. So maybe we can repeat all together. Vrindavan Avani Pate Jaya Soma Soma Mole Sanandana Sanatana Naradedya Gopishwara Brajavilasi Yugangri Padme Prema Prayaccha Nirupadi Namo Namaste. Translation. O Shiva, O gatekeeper of Vrindavan, you are accompanied by Parvati, Uma. You carry the moon in your hair. You are worshipped by the four Kamaras and Narada Muni. O Gopishwar, the worshipful deity of the gopis, desiring that you bestow upon me love for the lotus feet of the divine couple Radha and Madhav, who perform joyous pastimes in Braj, I offer my obeisances unto you again and again. Of course, there's a famous song that we often sing in ISKCON. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Shri Govinda Gopinata Madana Mohan, Jaya Jaya Gopishwara, Vrindavanamar. So that's glorifying Gopishwara in that song. Maybe we never thought about it, but it's there. And then Raghunath Das Goswami describes how the gopis used to worship Sadashiva and Gopishwar with great devotion, that he would bless them to fulfill their internal desires very quickly to obtain the embrace of the arms of Brajinda Nandan. So it's very clear, although this linga was, the linga was installed by Bhajranav, apparently there was another linga there, or whatever. Because it's not Goswami, he's indicating in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Gopishwar was being worshipped in Vrindavan even at the time of Krishna's manifest pastimes. And because he explains a little variation in this lila of Krishna fighting Keshi demon. Because in Bhagavatam, Krishna killed Keshi demon. But in different kalpas, in different days of Brahma, Krishna performs his pastimes differently. So Keshi came to attack Krishna, but then Krishna kicked him and tossed him far away. And then he found the Arista, the bull demon. So the bull demon he also killed here at Radhakund. But in this particular day of Brahma, he pierced a hole in the bull's nose, tied him up, and brought him before Lord Gopishwar Shiva. So Arista, because of Arista Sura, then Radhakund was formed. Because Radharani said, oh, you killed this bull, that's Gohatya, you have to atone for that, Prayaschit. So bathe in all the holy rivers. So Krishna said, well, look, I'm not going away from Braj. I'll call the holy rivers here. So all the holy rivers came to Braj and they formed, they collected over there in Radhakund. And then Krishna bathed over there. Rather Shamakund. So that's interesting that Krishna, in this particular time, Sanat Goswami said, Krishna blessed Arista by making him, giving him the position of Nandi to sit before Gopeshwar. So when you go before the when you go to the Gopeshwar temple, and you see some deity of of Nandi there, you should know that's Arista Sura. Krishna kept Arista tied up there for safekeeping, so that he would not be free to wander about and cause more trouble. It's also explained that before these great devotees, Srinivas, Chamananda, and Naratam, they left Braj to carry the teachings and books of the six Goswamis to eastern India. They went to have darshan, the principal deities, and get their blessings. They also went to have darshan of Gopeshwar Mahadev. And Srinivas became absorbed in offering prayers and gazing at Gopeshwar. So, Lord Shiva was so pleased with Srinivas Acharya that unseen by anyone, Gopeshwar manifested the form of Brahman and he personally bade farewell to Srinivas. Thus the three Prabhus got the blessings of Gopeshwar before beginning their famous preaching. So anybody who's a preacher, anyone who goes out and is a pracharak, he goes to people's houses or he holds programs or he tries to tell someone about Krishna, they definitely should go to Gopeshwar and pray for his mercy that, oh, please bless me that I can preach this Braj Bhakti properly. Now how did, because Gopeshwar means the controller or the Lord of the Gopis, so how did Lord Shiva get a name connected with the Gopis? And Lord Shiva is a man, he's in Purushabhiman. So how could he become a Gopi? So there's a story behind that. It's in... Once in Kailash, Lord Shiva heard the sound of Krishna playing his flute. He became totally mesmerized by that melodious sound. And soon, Lord Shiva entered Samadhi. And then when he came out of Samadhi, he became very curious where that sound was coming from. So he followed the sound of that murali, and it led him to Vrindavan, where Krishna was calling the gopis for the rasa dance. When Shiva came to the gateway of the rasa mandal, Yogamaya was standing there, Purnamasi, as a gatekeeper. She said, "No males allowed entry. Krishna, only Krishna is allowed. First you must have a gopi form, then you can enter." Then Mahadev said, "How can I get a gopi roop?" Yogamaya said, "You must take shelter of Brindadevi. She will grant you the form of a gopi." So Brindadevi told Shiva to take bath in the water of Mansarovar, which is on the other side of Jamuna. After bathing there, Shiva came out of the water with the form of a beautiful gopi. So I remember once... I remember once we went over there and with some devotees and we took bath there and we knew about this benediction of Shiva. So we were thinking, oh, what will happen if we take a bath in here? We come out as gopis. Mahanidhi gopi. Because I'm supposed to be a swami or something. I really am supposed to be a gopi bhartu padakamali or dasana dasana dasa naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaishu nashudur naham varni nacha agrihapatir nova nishto yutirva kintu pradyani kala param nanda purna vidavdera gopi bhartu padakamali or dasana dasana dasa das dasana dasa das dasana dasa. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he recited this beautiful prayer every year before Jagannath Dev was sitting on his Rath Yatra cart before the festival began, before the procession began, he would recite this prayer. Four prayers he would recite. He would recite this prayer. It's in the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in this prayer, he's establishing his eternal identity. Naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaishya nashudra. He said, "I have nothing to do with the varnas. I have nothing to do with this varnashram system. I'm outside this varnas. I'm not a shudra. I'm not a Baniya, or Vaishya, I'm not a Kshatriya or a Brahmin. And moreover, I have nothing to do with the ashrams. I have nothing to do with Varna or ashram. I'm not a Brahmachari. I'm not a Grihastha. I'm not a Vanprast. I'm not a sannyasi. Although you think I'm a sannyasi. I have a danda, shaved head, no sika, no Brahmin thread because I've taken this ek danda, what appears to be Mayavad sannyas. So, but I'm not. What you see is not what you get. What you see is not what it is. You're seeing something else. So I what am I? I'm Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Das Das Anu Das. Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor. The Bhartu means the boss. The Bhartu means the Lord of the Gopis. I am a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis, of Gopinath. Shiva went there and he came out as Shiva Rani. Brindadevi took Shiva in her gopi form to one corner of the Rasastali. Shiva stood there and prayed to Radha Krishna, "Please give me devotion to your lotus feet." Krishna came up before the new gopi and said, "O Gopishwar, I am very pleased to see you in the form of a gopi. I give you the blessing that all the gopis will offer respect to you." Hearing Krishna's words, Radha became angry. She asked Krishna, "Who is she? Till today, you have never addressed me as Gopishwar, but now you are addressing this nice-looking lady as such. This is a great insult. I will leave this Ras Mandap." Krishna caught Radha's hand and said, "Please, listen. This is not a Gopi. This is Mahadev Shiva. He has entered the Ras Mandap to enjoy with us."